I want to share just a little bit with you tonight from the book of James. It's a, if you've never studied the book of James, it's a very practical book. It's a, some people, I've heard it called a blueprint that makes our faith work. And I like the way that, sounds because I believe that's really, truly, what it is. And tonight's subject is one that most people do not want to talk about. They don't want to talk about it in church either. And I'm going to be honest with you before we get into it. I don't like talking about it because I'm one of the people that get, I told my wife, I don't know any set of scripture and any set of verses in scripture that I'm more convicted of than I am in the ones we're going to read tonight, the main part of James. We're talking about taming the tongue. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm a talker. It's not something, I don't know if you're born that way or you just developed that way or what. If I'm in a group of people and they're, you know, there's more than two or three people gathered around and there is that eerie silence where no one says something. You know what I'm talking about? I'm going to break that silence. You know, I'm going to say something. And we're going to find out tonight that's not always the best thing to do. Sometimes you don't need to be the one to do that. You just need, you know, you need to be quiet. And I'm still having trouble. This has convicted me so much. I have walked around all day long, and I had a busy day at work. We had some meetings and some other things, and it was real busy, and I needed to talk a lot today. And people say, hey, well, you know, I'm not going to say. This had me afraid to even speak today. I hope it doesn't do that to you. But it certainly has convicted me. James chapter 3, and there are 12 verses here, and I'm going to read straight through them, and then we're going to break them down and see, go back and look and see what James actually said in this particular set of scripture. He said, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. I've heard that said before, that a lot of people don't become teachers because of that. We don't have it, just a few. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. Did you hear that? If a man does not stumble in word, if he does not stumble in his speech, some translations say, then he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. If he can just mind his words, he can mind his whole body. Indeed, he said, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. And he says, look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, world of iniquity. The tongue is also set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God or the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Amen. Does a spring forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Man, you talk about, folks, some powerful facts in Scripture. That is a powerful discourse. When he says our tongue is a deadly poison and evil even, it is just so hard to comprehend how much truth is in that select group of scriptures right there. And I'm going to take just a little bit of time tonight. And I want you to see this if you don't see anything else from this. James is very clear in one part here that this is a spiritual passage. You're not going to tame your own tongue by just putting forth a little bit more effort. It's a spiritual thing. It's a thing that comes from the inside and comes out. And he's very you know, careful to point that out to us tonight. But look what it says in Psalm 141:3, and from the Living Bible. I put this Living Bible in there because it had these words. It says, "Help me, Lord, to keep my mouth shut and my lips sealed." I wanted to insert, "Keep my big mouth shut." I don't know about you, but that fit me. It certainly fit me. Did you know that a chameleon lizard's tongue is twice the size of its body? That's true. I looked this up. I couldn't make this up. An average blue whale's tongue weighs as much as a pickup truck. You think your tongue gets you in trouble? I don't know what blue whales can say under the sea, but it must be bad because they got a tongue that big. And just some facts close to home here. Our tongue, the human tongue, weighs about 30 ounces. And here's a goodie. And guys, I know you will not believe this one, okay? A woman's tongue, on the average, is 1 inch shorter than a man's. Now, you know, if I follow the lesson, I ought to just shut up right here and not say anything else. But I don't even have to say it. You know, that can't be right. You know what I'm saying? That's impossible. But that's supposedly true. Now, I put in there some tongue facts here for you. Some tongue facts. James says, the tongue is small, but it's powerful. It's actually disproportionately powerful. And he shows us that and what he puts in there. It's small, he says, in comparison to other parts of the body, but it has a very powerful influence on our lives. Our words, what we say, has a lot to do about who we are. It truly does. Now, he says, not only is the tongue very powerful in what it says, but he says the tongue is a bridle. Now, he's talking about the representation here of power in that bridle part. And he talks about it in terms of a horse and a horse's mouth, that this bridle has to be put into this horse's mouth and it can control where the horse goes, because the horse is such a powerful animal. And that's where we get the term horsepower. That's the standard of measurement by which we get. And a horse is such a powerful animal, yet that you put that bridle in his mouth and you can. Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with horses, and I just realized that I'm sitting here tonight talking about horses, and Sunday I preached about a donkey. If I get the notion to eat some hay and go out somewhere and graze, we'll stop. I just don't know why that just hit me. But this bridle that we're talking about is actually about a 5-inch piece of metal, as I understand it, that's put in the horse's mouth, that's pulled up around where his tongue is, and it has it harnesses the power of the horse, holds him back from doing what he wants to do, and makes him do what you want him to. Now, like I say, if you've ridden one, I've ridden just a few times, and you're ahead of me if you're a horse person, and I may be. You know, saying some things that are wrong there, but I think essentially we get to, it's a powerful thing. It's a bridle, our tongue is. He says there's great power in what you say. You want an example? Folks, I love you. I truly mean it. I love you. What about, you're an awesome son. You're a wonderful daughter. You're like a princess to me. And remember, Daddy's always pulling for you. Wow. Honey, you've never looked as good as you look right now. Make sure you say that to your wives, guys. Yeah. Or we can go in this direction. I can't stand you. You make me sick. I wish you'd never been born. I don't ever want to see you again. Don't ever call me again. I hate you. Did you get the picture? It's pretty powerful. Two powerful extremes. On one extreme, you know, we can get good warm feelings in our heart. And the other extreme, we're ready to get up and walk out because of what the power of the tongue has on us. Folks, the tongue can change the environment that we're in if we're not careful. We have to be extremely careful with it. Next thing, he says the tongue is a rudder. Now, I've never been on a large ship. I've been on, you know, I think the largest ship I've ever been on is a riverboat. Sharon and I got to go to Nashville one year, and we rode that riverboat up and down the river. You know, you just ride up and down the river, and it turns around and comes back, and that's about as far as you go, and it wasn't any seasickness or anything like that, and that's more to my style than what I see on some of these cruise ships that you see lately, what you've seen from them. People, you know, sick as a dog when they get off of them, if they get off of them at all, or the thing turns upside down out in the ocean. I'm not a fan of that. But I say that this rudder is normally a very small part of the ship. The ship's huge. This thing is, you know, football field's long, but the rudder is very small. We seldom ever see what the rudder looks like. But I can tell you this, folks, if you're going to St. Croix and you're supposed to be there and your captain of the boat you're riding on, the ship you're riding on, if he don't turn that rudder towards St. Croix, you're not going to end up there. That rudder is going to direct where you are. The tongue is a directional part of us. It focuses us in the direction that we should go, or sometimes in the direction we don't want to go. So that's the rudder. The tongue is a spark. He talks about this spark, this flame. He said, and I noticed today on the news there was a wildfire covered somewhere. It wasn't normally there in California, but this one wasn't in California, but it was out in the west coast somewhere there. And you ever see when it talks about these wildfires, and they always try to talk about where it started from? Because all of these fires had to have a place of origin. There was a spark somewhere. And if you see the damage, it's just unbelievable how much forest, how much property can be destroyed. One spark takes it away. Now, have you noticed it took years for the trees to grow in this forest, or for a person to build this property like they want it and build their home and that kind of thing? And then one spark, it's gone. I want you to understand something. It don't come back like that. It doesn't. You can't get it back that easy. You know, sometimes we say things and we realize right after you've said them, you know, I'd really like to take that back. But can you ever really do that? Because you already said it. You know, it's already been heard. The impression's already been made. You're not going to get it. You can't take it back even if you want. You know, if you go tell a forest fire, okay, we stopped you. We got you put out. Now go, now all of this other stuff be restored that's been burned. It doesn't work that way. And now, not only is it, you know, our words lack a spark, but technology has made it where our thumbs are. You know, because we hit that send button. Instagram, texting, emails, all these things. We have to be careful what we say technologically now, because we can send the wrong thing, say the wrong thing. And there's a record. Not only is it said and, you know, just been said, now there's a record of it. Somebody's got it. They can read it. They can read what you meant to say. So it is a spark that can burn without recovery. Now he says this too. The tongue has been a problem since the day we were born. It's been a problem since the day we were born, because the nature that's in us is the reason our tongue is the way it is. If you don't believe what I'm talking about, do you ever have to teach a young child or a baby how to say no? They pick that up the first thing, don't they? You know? Or here's another word they learn. Mine. If they think it's theirs, they're going to holler out, mine, that's mine. And those are probably some things they shouldn't say from time to time. But you don't ever have to teach anybody to say that, because it's been a problem since the day we were born. We were born with the tongue like that. Now, I put in there too, the tongue is humanly untamable. I don't want to discourage you with that, because there is a way to tame it, but it's not humanly possible. It is divinely possible. The Spirit in you is how you tame your tongue. It is humanly impossible, but divinely tameable. Now, the next thing I put was, the tongue is twisted. And James really brings this out. And I'm not talking about tongue twisters. I don't want you to get that idea. But he talks about this thing of blessing and cursing. That's, you know, when I first became a young Christian and I read that, that really just really convicted me so badly. Because I thought, you know, it's true. We praise our God and our Father, and we bless him, and we turn around and curse our neighbor. That's hard to deal with. That's hard to live with. But it's true. It's a twisting kind of thing. He says that you don't get fresh water from a bitter source. Neither do you get bitter water from a fresh source. We've got to understand where the source is. And I think that's more of what he's, you want to get twisted. Let somebody say something about one of your children. You know, somebody come up to you. You know what so-and-so said about your child? What? You know, what'd they say? Oh, you better tell me all of it. You before you even know it, you say that one thing will make you just fly completely. You can be totally twisted. It doesn't matter what they said now. They said something about your child. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, and you're ready to go off. How many of us can remember? I was thinking about this week. How many of us can remember where a teacher or a coach or somebody that helped along when you were in school, when you were younger, said something to hurt your feelings, and it stayed with you a while? I had this happen to me. I was in seventh grade, and the first dance that we were supposed to have, I'd never been to a dance. I truly never had. I didn't have clothes to wear to a dance. I didn't have anything, and I was worried about, I wasn't going to go. I didn't have anything to wear, one of the guys that I was with in school said, you going to the dance? No. Well, you got to go, because we both had our eyes on this one young girl, and we were supposed to go because, we'd get a chance to dance with her, This was important. Seventh grade. Some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy. Seventh grade, folks, go back a little bit. So I thought, hey, maybe there's a chance I could go to the dance. But I have nothing to wear. What am I going to do? So I had this friend who was about 2 years older than me, and I was telling him about it. And he said, well, I've got an old sport coat, and maybe, you can wear it. Well, he was bigger than I was. But, hey, I wanted to go. Did I tell you I wanted to dance? I did. So I looked at this old sport coat, and I put this thing on. He had a pair of pants. I put those on. They were too big for me, but I tied them on me. And I'm going to the dance now, and I borrowed one of his ties, and I don't even want to tell you what I looked like. It was embarrassing. But when I got to the dance, I did have enough, courage to go and show up. And this friend of mine walks over the very first thing, and he looks at me and he says, well, that looks awful. Yeah. Well, I wanted to say, well, it's not mine. Don't blame me. I borrowed it. But he said, it looks awful. He said, you don't match at all. He said, is that what you going to wear? Well, I'm here, It would have been better if he had just knew what James said and just kept his mouth shut, but he didn't. That stayed with me. I'm 63 years old. I still remember the day. I still remember the time just like yesterday. You see how powerful I'm talking about? Just one word you might say. Now, that guy who said that, he and I graduated from high school together, and he was one of my good friends. He didn't mean a thing in the world about it, but he said it. He said it. I had a coach one time when I went to Auburn. I lettered in like four sports in high school. I said, man, I'm a pretty good athlete. I'm good, And when I got in this basic PE class at Auburn. Any of you have ever taken basic PE at Auburn know what I'm talking about. It's not fun. It's like basic training in the military. The coaches down there, I think, have some kind of competition going on to see how many people they make throw up on a given day. And it was extremely difficult. And we did this thing, I don't know if you've ever done this, but we did it back then in the day. You had to put your hand back here and you had to squat down. And it's called a squat thrust, if you've ever done one. 50 or 60 people in my PE class. And I'm thinking, I can do anything these guys can do. These guys don't know how good I was and everything. And I started doing these squat thrusts during our PE time. And he said, whoa, stop, hold up. And he walked up and stopped. And he looked and said, what's your name? And I told him. He said, Maddox, you have got the worst looking squat thrust I have seen in 25 years as a coach. I remember that. You know what? How about this? And I had somebody do this to me this week. This is the truth. Boy, you've gained some weight, haven't you? Now, I'm going to go through on how to tame the tongue here in just a second, but that's never anything you need to say to not one person. Do you ever need to look at them and say, buddy, I believe you've gained some weight, you know? What? You know, I wanted to slap this bird. I didn't, but I really wanted to. I really wanted to slap him. But the tongue is twisted. Now, how to tame the tongue? I'm going to give you some quick little things. Hopefully you'll remember this. This alliteration that I put down there for you. There are three things that start with the letter P on how to tame the tongue. First, let's look at Psalm 19:14 there in the New King James. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I have got to where I say that in my morning prayer every day. And I'd started doing it because it sounded pretty. I'm just being honest. But you know, after I kept saying it over a period of time, I got to looking at what that verse says. And I want you to understand that the only way your words will ever be acceptable into his sight is by his power, his strength. You see, you're not going to do it on your own. Your meditations and your words can only be pleasing to God by his strength and through the power of his Redeemer. That's the only way. That strength and that Redeemer in that verse is very important. Might want to underline that. That's something you might want to look at. But I put three P's in there. Look at the first one. Number one, I said, is to pause. This is how to tame your tongue. Pause. Don't say it. Think. Just don't say it. Just pause before you say anything. James 1:19 says this, my beloved brother, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath or slow to anger. Be swift to hear very well, but slow to speak. And you know, sometimes you have to, people come by and say, hey, did you hear about that? What do you think about that? Do the M's. Just don't say anything. You will never get into trouble, folks, if you don't ever say anything like that. Just keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. I know how hard it is. You're looking at a talker, okay? It's tough to do sometimes, but the first thing to do if you want to talk, to tame your tongue, is pause. Just don't say anything for a minute. Just don't do it. And then the second thing I put down is ponder. Ponder, which is just simply means before you open your mouth to speak, think. Think. If you could just think before you said this, most of the time we probably wouldn't say half of what we say if we thought about it before we said it. But see, after you say it, the thinking process is over then, folks. It's already out there. But you have to be very, very careful. But we need to think. You go to the dentist. I don't know if, you go to the dentist and they give you gifts. You get free gifts. You get a free toothbrush. You get a free tube of toothpaste. You get dental floss. They give you these things for going to the dentist. Like that's some kind of fair trade, for getting your mouth shot up and all, Here, we're going to give you a toothbrush. Thank you very much, But on the back of one of these toothbrushes, I asked the lady at the dentist, they have a toothbrush with this rubber kind of raised edge on the back of it. And I said, I don't believe I've ever seen that on a tooth. What is that? She said, that's a tongue scraper. Tongue scraper. And then I got to thinking, what if there was What if there was such a thing as a tongue scraper that we could use to just kind of scrape our tongue off every now and then and remove all the things that we're going to say before we think? Just scrape it off. Don't say it. Now, I put these in there for you because I want you to, these are very simple. I have to confess, Brother Frank and I did a study on the book of James how many years ago? It's been a long time. But these are, I think, from your notes, because I had it in my notes. There's, you know, the letters in the word think. I want to separate them out for you here. T, this is what you do to tame your tongue. Is it true? Is it true? Think. Is what you're about to say actually the truth? Because if it's not, why are you saying it? If it's not true and it's a lie, you're not supposed to be telling that anyway. So why would you say it if it's not true? So T is it true? H, is it helpful? Is it helpful? Will it lift somebody up by you saying it? Will it make somebody look good by you saying it? Folks, whether we know it or not, our words are like an elevator. They either going to take you up or take somebody down. That's what they do. They go up and they go down. That's the T and the H and then I. Is it inspiring? Are the words that you're saying inspiring to people to help them be more loving or caring or help you to be more loving or caring? Let me ask you this. How do you feel when somebody gossips to you? Used to didn't bother me. I wanted to participate with them. You know, I wanted to jump in, you know, help them. But I got to where studying this, I was looking at it, and every time I hear somebody gossip to me, it's like I got a little dirt on me or something. I want to get it off. That's kind of the way, and I think that's one of the key things. Let's be clear here. There's not a person in this room that hadn't gossiped before. Not one of us. Not one. We've all done it. It's easy to do. It's the most popular thing for us to do. Because we want to join, you're like me, want to join in the conversation. And if we're talking about somebody, hey, let me tell you what I think about them. And as soon as you do, you just gossip. And there's a fine line to draw there. So you got to look back and say, is it true? Is it helpful? Am I inspiring somebody by what I'm saying? Because if I'm not, then why am I saying it? A lot of times we say things to try to make ourselves look good. This is not the person we need to inspire, okay? We need to be thinking about other folks. The N in thing, is it necessary? And we pretty much covered that. Should it even have been said at all? Just don't say it if it's not necessary. Unless it's necessary, don't even bring it up. Don't say it. The K, is it kind? Is it kind? Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? Think before you speak. I thought about this. Is it kind? You ever said a kind word to a referee or an umpire? Well, I used to get some referees and umpires really hard times. I did. Yeah. And some of them were friends of mine. They actually were friends. Howard, I don't know if I've ever given you a hard time, but there are a couple of, I was about to say, there are a couple of calls I should have given you a hard time about, you know. And I'm glad to see you got glasses eventually. You know. But you know what? I got to think about it. Have you ever looked at an umpire and said, that's a terrific call you just made? Very astute observation that you just did. And thank you for contributing to my son losing his game. How nice that was of you. We don't say anything to a referee and umpire like that. You know, our wrath. Referee make one call. Oh, hey, you know. Next thing you know, is it kind or did it need to be said? We don't ever say anything nice to these people. If they make, am I right, Howard? Have you ever made a call and somebody said, that's a good call, Howard. Thank you very much. No, you probably never heard that. Never heard it from me. And then the last thing, and I think probably the most important that James kind of reminds us to do, and also in Matthew, I put Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 in there for you, and that is to pray. We're to pause, we're to ponder, and we're to pray. Because I think praying, as I said Sunday, praying gets us in this preparatory phase. It prepares everything. If we pray, that's going to prepare the way for everything we say. or everything we don't say. And prayer kind of has a way of doing that. Look what Matthew 12:34 said. Oh, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This thing James is talking about, folks, is a spiritual issue. It's deep down. Have you ever thought the words come out of your mouth first were birthed in your heart? Oh, no, Mike, because I say a lot of things I shouldn't say. I say a lot of things I don't mean to say. Hey, they were in your heart before they ever got to your mouth. You know, the old saying, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. And it's there before it ever comes out here. And it's we have to be very careful to understand that sometimes our words reveal what our heart has inside of it. We have to be real, real careful with that. And let me say this. Gossiping and criticism and things like that, they don't reveal a tongue. They reveal what your heart says or what your heart's feeling at the time. And you know, only God can change your words, folks, because he's the only one who can change your heart. He's the only one who can change what you say. And what we need to do in our prayers, I think, is spend extra time and say, God, help me to prepare my words. Lord, when we pray in the morning, say, Lord, don't let me say any. I've got to where I started doing that. Lord, don't let me say anything that would hurt anyone today. I don't want to bring anybody down. I want to be an inspiration and I want to raise people up. Or if I can't do that, Lord, don't let me say anything at all. Just don't let me say anything. Just keep that away from me. And I think that type of prayer, when we get into prayer like that, we get into the right frame of mind. God will prepare your mind and your heart when you do that. And he'll guide your words. That's the only place it's ever going to happen. You're not going to do it because it's humanly untamable. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for this opportunity to come and to share, Lord, what your precious word says to us. Lord, thank you for the words from James. What a great, great book it is, Lord, for us. Very practical for how we live today. Lord, we thank you for every word. Father, our prayer tonight is as Christians, Lord, as representatives of you in this world, it is so important what we say and what we don't say. And Father, we're just simply asking what we said in the prayer just a moment ago, that Lord, that you, we ask that you guard our hearts, Lord. Prepare our hearts so that out of our mouth will only come those things that you would have us say. Lord, help us to think before we say.